Nebuchadnezzar versus Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We'll look at that great confrontation today with Pastor Ray Bentley on Maranatha Radio.
The king said, either you bow down and worship me or you're going to burn. These three teenagers stood up and they said, no way. They said, if we do bow down to you, then we will really burn forever. But if we don't bow down to you, we can't burn. Now that's faith.
Spread the news. All of his people come and bow before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. Most of us like to see the good guy win, especially if the chips are stacked against him. Today, Pastor Ray brings us the story of three Hebrew teens who stand up for God, but do so in direct, blatant defiance against their earthly king. Here's Pastor Ray now to bring us the full story.
Let's open our Bibles to Daniel chapter 3. The world you and I live in tonight is in some deep waters. Fiery trials seem to be breaking out all over the place. You know, God is very gracious. He gives wake-up calls, and then he gives warnings, and then he gives time to respond. And I think that there are some who have responded to the Lord in a good and a healthy way. They're starting to draw toward him. Mankind is in still, for the most part, rebellion against God. And there is a great story here in Daniel chapter 3, and I want to personally challenge every single individual that is here tonight to be open to being either the man or the woman like these three young people were about 2,700 years ago. A lot of times we get excited about what God is doing, and we pray for revival, and we want to, you know, see tens and thousands, and we think of this as revival. But I have noticed that more times than not, real, genuine revival, world change happens when literally there are only maybe two or three who are willing to stand at just the right time, at the most strategic time, and who are willing to stand up, even though it may cost them their lives. And yet they stand up for the Lord. Everybody else, even of their own family, would think they're crazy. Even the people who are sympathetic to their cause would think they're out of their minds. And the people who are outside of their religious convictions, these guys being Jewish, the Babylonians, would have thought they've just, they're committing suicide. It is just ridiculous to stand up when the most powerful man on earth tells you to bow down. But in fact, we find in these three young men, the very time, season, just as King Solomon said, there is a time for everything under the sun. There is a season for everything under the sun. And those of you who are my brothers and sisters and believers in Jesus as your Messiah, your personal Lord and Savior, we are living in the day and the hour where they're going to need to be those who will stand up in rebellion against what the world and everybody else thinks. Even if it's not right on the outside, you ought to go along as much as you can to save and to spare yourselves. These three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, changed the world history. They saved the entire Jewish nation, and they brought salvation to a king, Nebuchadnezzar, and changed the course, literally, of history. All right, the title of the message, Staying Cool in the Fiery Trials, beginning in verse 1. It says, Nebuchadnezzar. So if you've been with us, you know this guy is the most powerful man on the planet Earth. He's over an empire called the Babylonian Empire. He's already conquered Israel. He has destroyed the temple, taken the treasures out of the temple, brought it back to Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 90 feet and its width 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together all the satraps, the ambassadors, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. You remember, if you were here with us when we saw Daniel chapter 2, that Nebuchadnezzar was worried about his kingdom. What's going to happen to my greatness in the future? Is my kingdom, which is so powerful and reaches to the ends of the earth, going to endure for all time? And he had this terrifying dream, so terrifying that he had night terrors. And we'd wake up and he called all of his magicians, all of his soothsayers, all of his spiritual diviners, those who practiced the ancient cult and arts and so forth, and he said, "Tell me my dream and the interpretation. I must know it." He knew that it was something deep, something spiritual, something real, but he couldn't even remember the dream. And they said they couldn't do it. They said, "Nobody can. You tell us the dream, then we'll tell you the interpretation." He said, "No. If you're so wise and all-knowing and can read the stars and read the tea leaves and the cards and all the rest, then you tell me my dream, and then you tell me what the dream means." And finally, they got so exasperated, they said, "Look, nobody knows that. Only the gods. Only the gods would know that." And he got angry with them, and he said, "You're all lying. You're trying to buy time, and you're just making a mockery of me, so all of you are going to die." This king was, you know, he was a very egocentric maniac, and so he's going to just kill everybody. And the word got to Daniel, and Daniel said, "Wait, let me pray. There is a God, not gods, a God in heaven, the God, the creator God, the only God, who reveals secrets. Let me go to him and pray." So Daniel and his three friends went and they prayed, and God gave Daniel the interpretation, and Daniel made the point, "Now, let it be known to the king, none of your magicians, none of your astrologers, none of your soothsayers could know the answer. Let it be known that our God," and of course they were foreigners who had been taken captive from Israel. So he's talking about the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the Holy One of Israel. "He has revealed to me your dream. You saw the image of a gigantic man, and the head was of pure gold. O Nebuchadnezzar," here's the interpretation, "you are the head of gold. Your Babylonian empire is the head of gold, but you will be replaced. Babylon's not going to last forever. Babylon's not going to be the kingdom of all kingdoms that never ends. You will be replaced by another kingdom, the Medo-Persian Empire." And that is, again, in the image of the man, it goes from gold then to silver, arms and chest of silver. But then even after the Medes and the Persians, there'll be another kingdom, inferior again, but it'll be a worldwide kingdom, the bellies and thighs of brass. And even after that empire, another empire will come. And that empire is represented by the 2 legs and the 10 toes, and that basically, as we shall see in Daniel chapter 7, is the Roman Empire to come. Now, this is 2,700 years ago that God gave to Daniel, the Hebrew man of God, prophet, teenager, a vision of the future of the world. These are the kingdoms. These are who will be the world-governing empires. So you see, it goes from a head of gold, and it works its way from gold, silver, brass, and then legs of iron, and then the toes, iron mixed with clay. It totally deteriorates. What God was giving to Nebuchadnezzar, the Gentile, was God was speaking to all of humanity, saying, "You don't want me. You have rejected me. You have rejected my paradise, you've rejected my Garden of Eden, you've rejected my governing over you, where there is no sickness, no dying, no pain, no suffering, no military, no starvation, You rejected it so that you could do what you want to do, and look what you do. You use power and you use force and you manipulate and you take advantage and you hurt one another and you're greedy and you're selfish, and rather than worship me, you essentially worship yourselves. And so, hence, I mean, if you want a picture of human history from God's heavenly perspective, that's it. We replace the image of the glory of God with an image of ourselves. So here Nebuchadnezzar hears this dream and the interpretation, and he honors Daniel and his friends. But then in the very next chapter, apparently Nebuchadnezzar, talk about having a dream go to your head. Here's Nebuchadnezzar, and he says, wait a second, head of gold? No way am I going to be replaced. Medes and Persians, they're part of my kingdom now. And whatever the way these faraway other empires might be, he goes, I see not only a head of gold, I see a whole man of gold. And I think that Nebuchadnezzar basically kept dreaming of this man, but in the face of the man, it was his own face. And so he built an image made, or at least overlaid with gold, 90 feet tall. Now, how many would agree that that takes a lot of ego? So there, you know, there he is, 90 feet tall. So in those days, they didn't have skyscrapers like now. So you could see it for miles. It was the tallest thing around. Gold out in the middle of the plain, meaning the sun shining off it. Here's this golden image, and everywhere you look at it from north, south, east, or west, looks like Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar says, I have a great idea. Why don't all my people bow down and worship me? Pray to me, love me, so that's what he does. He is in total rebellion against the Lord. When Moses came to Pharaoh and he said, God, the one whose name is I Am That I Am, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, says to you, Pharaoh, let my people go. Do you remember what Pharaoh's first response was? He goes, who? The Lord? Who is the Lord? Who's he? And basically, from that story on, guess what? The whole 10 plagues and everything that happened was the Lord revealing who he was to Pharaoh. And at the end of those 10 plagues, Pharaoh knew who the Lord was. I believe that man has rejected God. They have their own plan of how to bring the world together. They have their own plans of peace. They have their own ideas. All religions are equal. All ideas are equal. All faiths are equal. All philosophies are equal. And let everybody respect everybody else's way, and that will bring the world to peace. God looks down from heaven and says, that won't work, because there is no other God. Isaiah very specifically says, there is no other Lord except the Lord. There is no other God. There is no other Savior. And these other false idols, images, and gods and goddesses are really men's images of themselves, or women's images of themselves, and the worship of themselves. And it has a way of falling down, coming to a tremendous crash. So look with me now in verse 3. It says, and so the satraps, the administrators, governors, counselors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Verse 4, it says, then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages. See, this, the whole world is represented here. That at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, and in symphony, with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. This was a huge affair. They brought the royal orchestra. I've called this in your notes the Babylonian Oscars. You know, they do. They have a little golden statue of a little guy, and that's Oscar, and they give Oscars to all the people. Well, this was the gigantic Oscar, you know. I imagine Joan Rivers would have been there, and she would have talked about, oh, look at his robe, it's so beautiful. Anyway, and on down they go. It's an elaborate affair. Everyone who was anyone was there. It is a place to see and to be seen. And then it says in verse 6, whoever does not fall down and worship. Now that, by the way, when you worship, there's almost something instinctively in humanity. You go down on your face. That part of it is biblical, even when those who would come into the presence either of sometimes angels or a vision of the Lord, boom, you fall on your face to worship because you're not worthy and the glory of the Lord is so powerful. Well, here's a man wanting the same kind of worship, saying, I want you to fall down and worship. And if whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. Okay, now, what is the whole idea of worship? Worship, if you're taking notes, write this. Worship means love and adore. Okay, now, how would this be? If I, as Pastor Ray, said, look, all of you, I want you to show me how much you love me. I want you to all run up and just give me a great big hug. But if you don't run up and show me that you love me and that you give me a great big hug, I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace. And if I actually had the power to do that, so everybody comes up and, you know, fearfully kind of gives you a hug and walks away, how meaningful would that be? Look, everybody hugged me. Well, yeah, you're going to toss them into the fiery furnace. Okay, I'm not really going to do it, okay? I was just, it was an analogy. I love you. I love you. But here this guy, Nebuchadnezzar, that's what he said. And you might also want to note this. Worship means to love and to adore. Then underneath that, write this. True worship cannot be forced, which is another way of saying true love cannot be forced. You cannot force someone to love you. It just doesn't work. And we live in a world where people try to manipulate and they try to control other human beings to love me because we all need love. We're made in love, made by God who is love. God is love, the Bible says. And we were made in love. We were made to know God and to experience his love. But if we take God out of our lives and try to get people to love us, in any way, by coercion or by force, it's not true love, and nor was King Nebuchadnezzar truly being worshipped. So in verse 7, so at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, symphony of all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshipped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and they said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. And, you know, these guys are, they're just laying it on thick. O king, live forever. Oh, we love you, king. But we have a problem. There are these guys that don't really love you and they're not really worshiping you. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, and symphony, with all kinds of music. Notice how they say the same things over and over again. The king must have loved to hear that. And if you left out one word, he'd say, no, start again. The horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So these guys are saying, isn't that what you said, O king? O king, that we love and that we worship? Well, there are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Remember, after Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, had together prayed, and God gave to them the interpretation of the king's dream. He set them up in the province as Jews and said, hey, these guys are smarter than all my guys, wiser than all my guys, have divine insight and inspiration, they're over all the rest of you. Because they're the only ones that had anything legitimate to tell me about what my dream was and the interpretation of the dream. Well, now they're coming in and saying, hey, you remember those three Jews that you put in charge over us? The three, translation or interpretation, foreigners who moved in and now you have put into a place of honor and position and prestige and authority over us? He said, well, He said, "These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your," notice, "gods," plural, "or worship the golden image which you have set up." Now, how did Nebuchadnezzar respond? This gives you an insight into this guy's character. This guy seems like he was about emotionally 13 years old. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, I mean, I can see him, you know, like Yosemite Sam, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so they brought these men before the king. Yes, they were men, but they were young men, probably still in their late teens, maybe by now, if some time had passed, in their early 20s. Nebuchadnezzar himself spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, and symphony," with all kinds of music. See, he's the one that keeps saying it all the time. "And you fall down." I think he had it all in his mind. It was like he was choreographing the whole thing. And then everything comes in. The violins come in here and the flutes come in there. And then you guys all fall down and worship me. "And worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter," or in other words, we have no need to defend ourselves. "If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king." And then I love this in verse 18, "But if not, let it be known to you, O king, we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." The king said, "Either you bow down and worship me, or you're going to burn." These three teenagers stood up and they said, "No way." They said, "If we do bow down to you, then we will really burn forever. But if we don't bow down to you, we can't burn." Now that's faith.
And it's the kind of faith we need to model. Pastor Ray Bentley with good insight from this familiar story in Daniel chapter 3 here on Maranatha Radio. And listen, today's broadcast is available on CD for just $7. Get in touch and ask for the message called "Staying Cool in Fiery Trials." And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Daniel on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or here's where to write: Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Do you like surprises? Well, you'll find a number of them in Pastor Ray's brand new book called The Holy Land Key. It's for those who are real students of Bible prophecy and for those who want to be. And it digs deeper and uncovers insights perhaps you've never heard before. Some of the things Pastor Ray uncovered surprised even him.
I think one of the most unique characters that totally blew my mind that I found out is probably Jewish was Christopher Columbus. It has huge implications for the United States, for our country, for America, but also for the relationship between Jews and Gentiles.
For many years, Pastor Ray has partnered with God's people in Israel, including Judea and Samaria, the area known as the West Bank. Now he's combined that unique perspective with his knowledge of Bible prophecy to bring you The Holy Land Key. The subtitle is "Unlocking End Times Prophecy Through the Lives of God's People in Israel." You'll see how God's master plan can be seen in the seven feasts of the Lord. And Pastor Ray explains the many ways Israelis are hearing from God today. Let us send you your own personal copy of The Holy Land Key. It's available in our online store at maranatharadio.com. And if you have occasion to join Pastor Ray for one of his weekend services at Maranatha Chapel in northern San Diego County, be sure to catch him after the service and let him know you listen to Maranatha Radio. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Daniel. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.